Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A couple of armchair GMs who have yet to be wrong with any of their Timberwolves takes. Right. It's Flagrant Howls with Phil Mackey and Kyle Tighe.
It's a choose your own adventure off the top of this podcast here, Kyle. And you get to choose which path you want to start the show with. Do you want to talk about a buzzkill loss in which the Rockets won their first game in 13 tries over the Timberwolves, like 13 losses in a row against the league, and then they beat the Timberwolves last night? Or do you want to dive into some juicy, speculative trade fodder?
Reckless speculation.
I think we should do trades. I'm well aware that the Rockets hadn't won since the day after Christmas. I continue to believe, doesn't matter what happened last night, they're the worst team in the league. They have no veteran leadership. But the Wolves also, this is, I guess, the recap of the game, had said so many things about the Rockets. It's so hard to keep just beating a bad team. The Wolves never get up for bad teams. But, man, all I could think about last night was whether it be Austin Rivers or Anthony Edwards. They just said so many, kind of taken so many shots at, like, Jalen Green and be like, oh, the offense should run through Sengun and stuff. Who, yes, that's right, and he's good. I think Jalen Green had enough, and he's like, you know what, I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of being crapped on by this opposing team, so I'm going to go drop a career high, I think, 42 points. And one of the most predictable losses I can think of, not to get into gambling corner, but as soon as Chris Finch said pregame, he was like kind of mad that they do these like home and home series against teams.
Again, yes.
Chris Finch is right in that. Like, this stuff is kind of weird. It's one thing if you, like, host a team back-to-back. Like, the Blazers hosted the Wolves back-to-back games. That saves travel. But when you got to go, like, we play Houston on Saturday and we go to Houston on Monday, it's kind of a dumpster. But as soon as Finch said that, I knew he was coming as a guy who was like, my team is not going to be motivated for tonight.
Dude.
Hammered the Rockets money line. So that was a profitable moment. But, but yeah, that was just a bad loss. And it's okay to lose one or two of them, but we're getting to a point now. It's like you can't keep losing these games. But
okay,
let's get reckless.
Let's put a pin in that because okay. I actually have a Chris Finch take.
Ooh, ooh!
I need to run back.
Let's get some reckless speculation going though with some trades.
Okay, so we'll start with this one here. Couple nuggets here. Let's start with the juiciest one from Hoops Hype. Minnesota Timberwolves center Naz Reid has drawn interest from various teams on the trade market, including the Clippers and the Nuggets, league sources told Hoops Hype. With the Timberwolves reportedly gauging the trade market on point guard D'Angelo Russell, could the Clippers entice Minnesota executive Tim Connelly with guard Terrence Mann as part of a trade package, or the Nuggets with guard Bones Highland, with whom that's who Tim Connelly drafted in Denver a few years ago? Reed, who will become an unrestricted free agent this summer, could potentially command an average annual salary around the full taxpayer or non-taxpayer mid-level exception as one of the notable free agents on the market. In seven games as a starter, Naz Reid averages 15 points in 26 minutes, a plus 15 rating per Basketball Reference. So your thoughts, there's a lot of plates spinning here. There's the D'Angelo Russell plate. And by the way, like, he's been playing out of his mind largely recently.
Good timing last night.
If they do trade him, it's good timing, and we'll get to a nugget on that too. But your thoughts just on the framework of, and I don't know if this is part speculation by Hoops Hype or if they're getting some information about Clippers and Nuggets players that might be available, but what do Terrence Mann and or Bones Highland do for you?
Well, Bones Highland makes Jalen Noel look insecure. Like, that's how much confidence that guy has. That guy, you watch some of the shots he takes. I really like Bones Highland, and then there's the Tim Connelly connection. That would be a player that you're probably just thinking, like, you know, this, all of this, it doesn't matter what names you put into this, right? It's all about the fact that by making the Rudy Gobert trade, you are starting to limit yourself on what you can do. They're probably not going to re-sign D'Angelo Russell and Jalen Noel and Naz Reid and just run it all the way back.
Yeah.
There's going to be turnover. Naz Reid is a very good player, and I'm sure a lot of teams would like him as either their backup center or maybe like a kind of a – like I think Naz Reid cutting and doing things with alongside Nikola Jokic, like at a 4-5, he would be great in Denver. So Bones Highland is, you know, under that Jordan Clarkson, Jamal Crawford, like kind of microwave score, but the Wolves need one of those, especially maybe we'll do this later, but you and I probably are no longer Jalen Noel's agent. He has really fallen off a cliff and lost us a lot of money. That's my bad. But Terrence Mann's the same way. Terrence Mann's an athletic guy. I think he shoots 37% from three. He's a good player. He's physical. I could see him being out there running, you know, rotations alongside Ant and Jaden and stuff. So two good players. But yeah, I think the bigger thing of this all is that Naz Reid is going to be in trade rumors for the next 2.5 weeks.
Yeah,
D'Angelo Russell is going to be in trade rumors the next couple of weeks because, again, if the Wolves are saying, like, hey, we don't think we can re-sign them, we got to get something back for them, another team's like, well, we want to trade for him now so we can kind of have him in-house so that we have an advantage to sign him this summer. I mean, that's what teams do all the time. So I believe this stuff is real. I believe both those guys that would come back would be beneficial to the Wolves. But that's going to be the next 2 weeks is every day you're going to see Timberwolves in countless trade rumors.
Yeah, this is an interesting one because – You have to sort of make these decisions also looking out to the summer. Like if you had plans to trade Karl Anthony Towns, mm-hmm. or if you had plans to just like pull the plug on the Rudy Gobert thing and trade him for 50 cents on the dollar,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't you then be more likely to try and extend Naz Reid? So aren't you kind of like reverse engineering, but you might not have a full idea of what you want to do long term because you want Kat to come back and see what it all looks like. So you might have to make a decision on Naz Reid before you're really ready to, which mm-hmm. is kind of unfortunate just the way that the Kat injury played out in this case, right?
Right. And this is all sports, not just the NBA. But you are going to wake up for the next 2.5 weeks every day to seeing trade rumors. These articles always kind of get posted in the morning to get a lot of traction. There's also a chance that the Denver Nuggets called Tim Connelly and said, what would you want for Naz Reid? Rather than, you know, the Wolves shopping him, you got all these people in these front offices are making calls all the time. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, we also haven't even mentioned, like, okay, is Carl here long-term? Is Rudy here long-term? What about Naz Reid? Like, well, what about Luka Garza? Like, maybe he's there. I mean, he's starting to shoot from three. He's shooting, I think, a better clip this month than Naz is from three.
We had the Nate Knight game a couple
days ago. Yeah, Nate Knight, too, is, like, another not a traditional center, but at the time being with some of the injuries, Chris Finch is, like, has Nate stapled to the rotation. And not Nate Knight's given him really good minutes. He was a big reason they won that last Rockets game at home. So I don't believe the Timberwolves will have five centers when they start training camp next September. So
yeah,
this is one of those moves where if you're trying to readjust a roster who no one that follows this team thinks this roster is perfectly orchestrated or constructed, maybe you got to move out a big guy to get in another guard because all of a sudden this team's kind of low on guard. So all the rumors make sense, and it's going to be more of that these next couple weeks. The Wolves are pretty tight-lipped with their front office. It's kind of what you hear. Like, they're not leaking a lot of stuff. So if you hear this stuff, it might be other teams being like, yeah, we called on Naz, we called on whatever, and we'll see.
Well, the two names are interesting in that and again, this could be fully speculation from Hoops Hype on the actual names. I don't know for sure, but, you know, Bones Highland, I think, is more intriguing than a Terrence Mann. Terrence Mann's a really good player.
For sure.
He's like a Taurean Prince sort of cutout, right? Mm-hmm, he's a good, solid wing player, 6'5". He's going to sit out there. He can shoot threes. He's just a good, scrappy wing player, and he's pretty cheap. He's his two-year, $22 million extension kicks in next year. Bones Highland is actually even cheaper. He's under team control for making almost nothing until after the 2025 spring.
Mm-hmm.
In his only start for the Nuggets this year, so he usually plays he's an 18 to 20 minutes, like you said, like a microwave popcorn scoring combo guard, but he can run some more point. But they let him start one time because of injuries. 20 points, 11 assists, 5 rebounds, 33 minutes, just in a glimpse of what he could look like as kind of the driver of an offense there. Big-time three-point shooter. Young, so guys like that, if you're looking for, okay, who can help if you're going to keep Gobert, how can you surround him with just a bunch of lights out shooters that don't make that much money, right? Because you don't, that's the difference between like a Bones Highland and a D'Angelo Russell. Well, D'Lo, even if his price comes down at a discount, is still going to need like $20 to $25 million to be a scoring punch. He's going to need a certain amount of usage rate to make him happy. So I can see the logic in just trying to get like younger, cheaper, but maintain some shooting with some of these guard and wing positions.
And I mean, you know, the Nuggets are going to be buyers. The Clippers are going to be buyers. There's an article today that the Clippers might go all in on some stuff. Oh man. Okay, we're back. Sorry, my phone. Someone called me, and I wasn't on Do Not Disturb.
I thought you saw like a breaking trade. I thought you saw a Woj bomb there. I was what happened?
No,
oh, no.
Shout out to my friend Chad trying to call me. No, you're just going to see the Wolves kind of repositioning their roster again. They're going to be active because, like you said, they want to just get some cheaper guys. And I think Bones Highland has his flaws, without looking at the numbers, I think Bones Highland is just a younger, higher ceiling guy than like Jalen. And as again, without Jalen, they haven't gotten anything from Jalen Noel in weeks now. It's like, well, maybe you just plug him in. Terrence Mann, like you said, a little older, 26, gives you a little more defense. But as we've always said throughout this Tim Connelly stuff, like, he wasn't paid all he was paid and signed as long as he was signed to just trade for Rudy Gobert and then do nothing else. Like, he is going to – this roster is still very much Gersan Rosas' roster and Sachin Gupta's roster. Like, he's going to want to change things. And if you know you're not going to keep a guy, then, again, these next 2.5 weeks is the time to maybe pull the plug. And another guy that is going to keep coming up, even though he's been phenomenal, is D'Angelo Russell.
Well, and we'll get to that more in depth in a sec. I have one more Naz Reid question for you. Yep. So I feel like we're just littered in Wolves history with just like regrettable trades, right? The player that got away, or and it can be even going back to my biggest one is actually the Marbury for Ray Allen swap on draft night in 1996. It's like, well, what? No, I mean, Marbury and KG, they got to the playoffs. Yeah, but imagine if you would have paired Ray Allen with Kevin Garnett for like even with the Wolves finally getting to the playoffs for the first time in franchise history. The what if of, man, if you had drafted Ray Allen and put him with KG for 10 years in their prime, what could they have done? So there's all sorts of those, right? There's Andrew Wiggins thriving in Golden State and
Tyus Jones.
There's all kinds of examples. How much do you fear that with Naz Reid? Like, we've seen some Naz Reid potential. Is he a guy that you're going to wind up trading and he's just going to go explode somewhere?
Reckless speculation.
What do you think?
I think I love everything else about Naz Reid, and I really like the way he plays. Like, I love when he does something cool, and we all just look square into the camera and just say, Naz Reid, or when his teammates do that. Last night on the broadcast, Jim Pete brought up that he actually, like, I think leads the team in block percentage. So maybe not total blocks, but, I mean, you know, he's undrafted. He was out of shape. He was kind of going nowhere, and he's turned himself into a guy that, as the article says, probably going to command $8 to $10 million a year. That's great. But he also still has limitations. I think he's shooting, like I said, 21% from three this season, or this in 2023. Doesn't rebound very well. He'll have some big nights, but, you know, his rebound percentage, it's just, I'm not trying to criticize the guy because I do want him to stay. It's just
No. If you criticize him, it makes us feel better about trading him.
But this is the blown off a finger thing. Like, I can't imagine they pulled a string on the Rudy Gobert thing yet. I mean, clearly not going to happen before the deadline. But like, I think that he starts next season here, and they give it another year. So if you know Rudy's here, and you are pretty sure that they want to keep Carl and keep trying this. Again, it's a numbers game. You're not going to pay those two guys $90 million and then pay Naz $10 million to every fourth game play 6 minutes. So I think that's part of the reason they've acclimated Luka Garza a little more. They've started to get Nate Knight a little more run, another guy who's been through the system. But, yeah, at some point they're going to trade someone and we're all going to be pissed. Like, they're going to trade someone that's like, I really like that guy. The same thing happened with Tyus. It's like they lowballed Tyus. They didn't give him, when Rosas was here, like, they didn't give him much of a kind of a runway, and then he went down to Memphis, and he's the best backup point guard in the league.
You know, I think the way I'm sort of reconciling this is I love Naz Reid as a player, but there are a lot of games, I don't know, like one in every four, one in every five games where it's just not really a Naz Reid game, and he'll just have like a minus 16 or something in 12 bull in a china shot minutes, or he just like spastically fouls three times in 5 minutes. So he has these weird, like, blue screen of death moments that kind of drive you crazy. And I think what you have to figure out is at $1.9 million, which is what he makes right now, he made 1.8 last year, 1.5, and then he made less than $1 million in his first season. Like, crazy production for the price. One of the most valuable Timberwolves in terms of what he's getting paid the last 4 years. Just a spark plug, a guy that if Towns is out, you can put him in there for 25, 30 minutes, and he's largely going to give you good minutes, right? He's a contributing, largely winning player. But Naz Reid at $1.9 million versus Naz Reid at $10-15 million.
Yep.
That's where, okay, if I can get a Bones Highland for $2 million or $4 million or whatever he's making the next couple of years, because you've got guys that are making $40 million on this roster, okay, that's how, that, I think that's kind of how, even if he kind of goes and plays really well, I don't know that he's a guy that has, like, a jump to play 35 minutes a night, 18 points. Like you said, he's an okay rebounder, but I don't think he's going to go and, like, make you regret, oh my God, there was a 32, 35 minutes per night guy that scores 19 points, grabs 13 rebounds, and blocks a bunch of shots. So you're kind of moving off of the price for another guy that makes less money and rotating that way.
Andrew Wiggins, you know, really had his career. He was a good player in Minnesota. Let's not throw shade at that. But then his career kind of took off when he went to Golden State. He was a number one overall pick from Kansas. Yeah. Like, Tyus Jones was a lottery pick, or, you know, a first round pick from Duke. Naz Reid was undrafted from LSU. Like, I'm with you. I think he can give you four nights. Every fifth game, he'll have just a not Naz Reid game, and that's fine. Sometimes, you know, other teams that have centers, like, oh, we're just going to start small in that. We're not the Clippers. We're not going to play Zubac that much. We're just going to play a bunch of guards. I think the Wolves would be cool doing that. I think Naz Reid could be the starting Timberwolves center next year, but you've committed so much to Rudy Gobert that it's like, yeah. I mean, last night example, Chris Finch had moments where he just didn't want to play Rudy, so he played Nate at night at the five. Well, the beauty of that is Nate makes $600,000, Naz makes $1.8 million, but you can't sit Rudy because he makes $40 million. Yeah. So all of this is just kind of looking at the cards we were dealt, and it's like, yeah, that. You have kind of, for now, decided who your four and five is for this franchise, so that leaves guys like Naz out. But I think the way you word that about, like, player X is awesome at $1 million, but player X is not so awesome at $10 million, that's, you know, you don't want to have to pay the guy sometimes.
Don't make me compare this to the Kirk Cousins contract. If I could get Kirk Cousins on a rookie scale contract, great value. Kirk Cousins as the third highest cap hit, not so much. On the Gobert front, and we'll get into the D'Lo stuff, I promise, but last night was such a classic microcosm of the whole season with Gobert, where, you know, I watched the whole game, but let's just say I didn't watch the game, and I just looked at the box score and saw, wow, okay, 36 minutes, 15 points, 16 rebounds, a bunch of offensive rebounds, 4 blocks, 5 of 8 from the field, so he scored 15 points on 8 shots.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a quintessential Rudy Gobert game right there. Pretty good stuff. But then if you just watch the game without looking at the box score, to me it just felt and looked clunky.
Yep.
They did hit a couple nice little D'Lo and Gobert are starting to get on the same page with these lobs, these little pick and roll lobs. So that was a good sign. But there were moments where it was like, I'm yelling at my TV, dude, you're out there to clean up. Why are the Rockets getting 4 offensive rebounds on a possession? Just, like, literally grab the ball. That's why you're out there. So I don't know what the disconnect is sometimes between, boy, if that's an efficient box score versus what you actually see with your eyes. And there's probably some Jazz fans that are like, yeah, dude.
Yeah. We need those Jazz fans back in the comments to calm us down. No, I mean, what do you want to do? Heads or tails? I can go really positive, Rudy, or really negative. Like, I really think Rudy
I need some positivity here.
I think the league, conspiracy Kyle, I think the league actually hates Rudy Gobert. I don't know if it's because of the COVID thing that happened. He was kind of the face of it or whatever when we all didn't really know what was going on. I actually think that, like, he, when I watch him, gets shoved in the back or held by smaller players all the time. You brought this up. You're going to get just a tangent out of me now. Between load management, I love the NBA, NBA guy. Between load management and the officiating this year, I really think the league is in a weird spot. Officiating is horrible. And I'm not saying they lost. The Wolves are horrible. They lost last night because they sucked. But there was, like, that moment where, you said it, D'Lo threw a lob to Rudy got clipped in the face, like, in the head. Like, they would have reviewed it under the protocol or the concussion protocol in football. Yeah. Hangs on the rim, is mad because he got should have been an and one, looks at the ref and is like, WTF, and instead of getting a free throw, gets a technical. It's a two-point swing. They only lost by, like, 4 or 5 points. Like, those things just, he gets such a bad whistle, and it's so frustrating. Now, Tails, there was a moment where he had, like, a small guy on him, a guy I don't even know, Ty Washington or something, and he's calling for the ball. So they threw it to him, and he had no idea what to do. I think he spun left and kind of, like, underhanded this thing that went off the glass, over the backboard. Didn't like so it's just this weird, if I see you asking for something and I give it to you, and then you
have a plan.
Yeah, have a plan. Like, if you're like, dude, I am so hungry, feed me. And I give you some food, and you're like, I don't know where to put this. It's like, dude, put it in your bleeping mouth. Like, what do you want me to do? So that's the good and bad of the Rudy. But yeah, to your point, 15 points, 16 rebounds, 4 blocks, only 2 turnovers, 5 for 8 shooting. But also, too, he had a lot of Mackies. Like, he had a lot. They just didn't go to the rim much. He had a lot of deterrence on the rim. He had 16 rebounds, but the rest of the starters, I think, only had a combined 10. So,
yeah.
Yep, we need those Jazz fans back. This is the good and the bad of the Rudy Gobert experience. But back to the Nas thing, it's just Rudy is going to be your center until you decide to not make him your center. And if that's the case, someone's going to get cut, whether it be a Garza or a Nas Reed or a Nate Knight. And whoever it is, people are going to be mad, but you got to make someone. You can't have 5 centers next year.
I do think maybe we are the jinx, because earlier this week we did the Kyle Anderson appreciation episode, and he has just been – he's had like his 2 worst games of the year. Mm-hmm. Last night he played 12 minutes, had 5 fouls in 12 minutes, made 1 shot, 2 points, no rebounds. Like, if he is just at all Kyle Anderson, the Wolves win that game by 8 points last night. And because he fouls a foul machine, he's out of the game, and now they're like going deeper into their – sort of thin bench right now.
He even posted on IG after the Saturday or Sunday game against the Rockets, like, I think he put the turd emoji. Like, he was like, I was terrible tonight. He was also terrible against the Rockets again. But he was another one that got some weird whistles. Like, there was that moment where he fouled Jalen Green, who is an interesting player. And then Jalen Green just threw the ball at Kyle Anderson. And then they teed up Kyle Anderson.
And he gets the tech, yeah.
It was just weird. Like, crazy. Again, they didn't lose because of the officiating, but the Wolves, man, they get... I said this to Dane last Friday. I think Chris Finch has to just get tossed. Like, I think last night was a great example. Dude, just go on the court and make a mockery of it and see if you can kind of win some goodwill. I don't know if people listening to this think that's immature. I think that's actually how good coaches do it sometimes. Like, don't let the refs show up your players. Kyle Anderson was fighting their own security person last night who was on the floor. He was like, get off me. Like, I have this under control. But he was clearly on one. I don't know. I think at some point they're going to have to either back channel complain to the league, or else Chris Finch is just going to have to throw a whiteboard like Steve Kerr did that one time and just be like, get me out of here and let me protect my players. Cause I know, and you know this, covering sports for as long as you have, like, I think players respect that. I think players see if you're in my foxhole, like, if you're going to defend me, maybe I won't complain as much cause you got my back. So I don't know. That was my rant on officiating.
Let's do the Finch thing right now. Let's do the Finch
thing. Okay, good.
Right,
okay.
Now.
Let's do it. I have no idea where this is going
to
go.
This is bad timing. And again, we will get to the D'Lo stuff. We promise.
That'll be a good running bit if we just keep saying we're going to get to the D'Lo
stuff.
Matt
Damon, we're out of time.
It's April 10th, and we're like, we're going to get to the D'Lo stuff, I promise.
In fact, you know what? I feel like I might be sharpening my knife, if you will, when it comes to my Chris Finch opinion. Just like my friends at Vivrant sharpened my kitchen knives a few weeks back. So this is an amazing new service and a new partner of ours here on Flagrant Howls and across Score North Podcast. Minnesota-based company. They actually have a great store in Wayzata where you can go in, meet my friend Joseph, who has immersed himself into helping people just heighten their experience in the kitchen. They have Japanese knives and skills classes, so stop in. It's in Wayzata. But what you do is you mail your knives into Vivrant. They send you mailman friendly. You're not going to stab your mailman. They send you friendly packaging. It's all very safe. And within a few days, you ship your knives out. They sharpen them professionally. You get them back. They'll send you replacement knives if you want to. And my wife and I, as two people trying to adult more often and cook our own meals, this has just made our goal of being healthier and spending more time with each other in the kitchen just come to fruition even more here. So Vivrant.com, that's VIVRONT.com. The first 100 Score listeners to use the promo code SCORE will receive a free vegetable peeler with your order. And also, with every order, Vivrant will support paying off school lunch account balances in our local school. So
that's
it's awesome across the board. VIVRONT.com, promo code SCORE. Okay. So this is bad timing. This is like going to the grocery store hungry. You're just like, you're going to deviate from what you maybe previously thought because, damn it, you just saw some frozen mini corn dogs or something and you're starving. I just got done watching the Hulu Lakers documentary. Not the the scripted series was amazing too, the HBO one.
No, this is the real one.
It's like the real deal where they literally interview like 40 years worth of Bus family and Shaq and all these people, right? Pat Riley, Phil Jackson. So you're getting heavy doses of Pat Riley and Phil Jackson throughout this entire documentary. Maybe the two, the George Washington and whoever else on the Mount Rushmore of great coaches, right? Commanding coaches.
Right.
Culture coaches. I'm not calling for his head, but I feel like Chris Finch might be more of a great offensive coordinator. He's a great mastermind. He belongs right next to a head coach on the bench. But you brought it up earlier in the podcast. You're playing the Rockets, dude. They've beat you 13 times in a row. First of all, get your team to stop clowning them through the media. Why are Timberwolves players going on podcasts and telling reporters how immature and terrible the Rockets are, right? It's the most immature team I've ever seen. It's the right. Why are you giving them any of that fuel? Be more disciplined. You're the Timberwolves, for God's sake. Like, have some self-awareness. And then why are you, before this game starts, complaining about having to face the Rockets back-to-back games? It is a weird, quirky schedule. I agree with you, Kyle. But why are you planting that seed in anyone's head? And this is from him verbatim, that the team that lost the first game has a distinct advantage in the second game. Why? Why would you even speak that into existence? Give your team confidence. Be a leader. Get ejected if you feel like your team isn't getting a great whistle. He just kind of, like, he's so likable. I do think he is a mastermind in certain ways, but I think there's a beta quality about him that rubs me the wrong way. And I've been trying to put my finger on, like, what is it about him that just seems a little off compared to some of the top, like the Eric Spoelstras, the guys that, like, I think he's like everyone's cool passive uncle that knows a lot about basketball. And I think the players like him, but I don't know that the players, like, fear and respect him in the way that they would a Popovich, a Spoelstra. And you have to earn that credibility. I get it. But, like, Spoelstra had that right away. I think Quinn Snyder actually sort of has that. That just like that little edge to your personality, that don't F with us sort of a thing. And Finch's personality is a little bit of a wet fish, and it bothers me. And I had to get that off my chest.
You feel better? That was really good. Okay. That was like, especially after the sharpening the knives. Like,
that's vivront.com. VIVRONT.com.
Bring your pitchforks. No.
I don't know.
This could take forever, but I mean, when the Wolves were out here in Portland for two games, they got, I think the first game, Damian Lillard shot 94 free throws, and Finch was pretty subtle post game when I asked him a question, but he was like, basically was like, I don't know what else you want my guys to do. Like, took a shot at the officiating, but like kind of in the beta way, like you said, he didn't just come out and say, like, you know, like A-Rod was at the game last night. I don't know if A-Rod has any money, but like, hey, A-Rod, like, I'm just going to rip the officials. And will you pay my fine? Teams do that all the time. Just take a shot. Like, really, truly put your neck out there. Because,
yeah. And
I will say this too. I am admitting that I might just be hyper-focused on a specific thing that I didn't notice in the past. Chris Finch came in here under a weird situation. Rosas is running the thing. Ryan Saunders was pushed out. And was just kind of like, we have no expectations. Let's have fun. And it was the perfect move, I thought. Because everyone played freer and looser, and it built up guys' value, whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't know if now he's starting to feel the seat. Everyone listening to this who is in cold weather, like you have a car start, like he's just starting to feel the seat warm up, but it's not hot. But he just does some things where, like, when every time Jalen Noel misses a shot on the basket in front of the Wolves bench, I think Chris Finch has a stroke. And, like, I can see it. I can see him be like, oh, my God. Like, he has, like, a lot of demeanor on the bench where it's like, I wonder if Jalen saw that. Like, I wonder if he caught out of the corner of his eye, like, oh, my God. Like, or if D'Lo makes, you know, a bad turnover, you see him, like, point to the end of the bench and be like, all right, enough of that. And I don't, again, I don't know if he's just stressed because he is trying to get this message across. I mean, there is a level of expectation that the players also just, like, take care of business. It's what you get paid to do.
Yeah.
So whatever. So not pushing back on the, like, you know, he can only do so much. I'm not defending him. But, yeah, I saw those comments pregame. I think Chris Hine had it. And it's just like, why would you say that? Why wouldn't you just be like, you know, we've been, you know, 8-3 over the last 11. We've been rolling. It's tough sometimes to play the same team twice. But, you know, for us, it gives us a good preview of what a playoff basketball, like, yeah. Just spin it in another way. Don't say that the team that lost, the Rockets, that hadn't won since the day I put away my Christmas tree, had the advantage. They suck.
Like, it's a weird way to set up an excuse. I don't know if he was doing it consciously or subconsciously, but he's like setting up an excuse for if they lose.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's where his head is at, and I get, like, to his credit, or not to his credit, but, like, in fairness to him, they have lost 6 games to the worst teams in the NBA this year. Pistons, Rockets.
But
so he's probably kind of expecting it to happen. But if that's where you're at, dude,
Quinn
Snyder's available. Like, I don't know what to tell
maybe
you.
Maybe someone listening to this does coach something. Like, I've coached before. I'm coaching Special Olympics basketball now, which is different. But it's like, if you kept running into the same thing, you're like, okay, we lose to the Pistons every time. We play terrible against the Rockets. Like, maybe don't have breakfast. Like, maybe everyone walks from the hotel to, like, try something that, like, you're the coach. Maybe try something that takes everyone out of their pregame routine. No one gets naps the next time we play the Rockets. Like, change it up, because to build in these excuses, he said after the game, he's like, we're capable of beating anyone and losing to anyone. Well, I like that transparency, but also you're the guy, you got to prevent the floor from breaking down. So
it doesn't feel like he has full control over this thing to me. It feels like he's a little bit along for the ride, and I get it. What he's attempting to do is really hard, and to bring it back to this Lakers thing, one of the episodes was about the end of the Showtime run and Pat Riley's last year, and even the godfather Pat Riley, multiple championships, his career has exploded just with the Lakers, right? Even he was saying how sometimes you just get, like, a few years in, 5, 6, 7 years in, and I felt like I was losing the room. It was like I was talking and doing the same things or trying different things, and I could feel them pulling away from me, is what he said. I don't know if the Wolves are pulling away from Finch, but it definitely feels like we are now, 50 games into this thing, and he has a vision for how this thing is supposed to work on a nightly basis, the energy and the effort and the rebounding and everything. And the fact that they aren't living up to his vision of what he thinks they should be doing is an indictment. It's, you either have a bunch of dudes that should be gone from the roster because they just apparently don't take pride in their professional work, or you are doing a bad job as a leader, getting them to, holding them accountable and getting them to play up to a certain bar.
And, you know, I'm just being honest. Like, I am biased because I've talked to Finch. I've hung out with Finch. Like, he is very likable, and I like your offensive coordinator analogy. Like, he is a smart – I mean, he does some dumb things in games. Everyone does. Like, Spoelstra, Kerr – like, Steve Kerr did something really dumb the other night and kind of lost in the game. It's Steve Kerr. He has a bunch of rings. But I just – I don't – you know, after the Rockets win on Saturday, Ant went out of his way to be like, Finchy and I, like – we butt heads, but he is my guy. Like, he told me to, you know, if I want to be that guy, I got to be on ball in late game situations to shut down their guy and then go score. Like, I know him and Finch. I mean, that's what I'm juggling. I'm really kind of therapeutically talking to you about it. Like, if that's Ant's guy, and you and I sometimes think this is Ant's team, well, it's like, well, then you got to give him a longer leash. But in the same vein, it's like, if you come out and at 5:30, you know your guys are just going to have another letdown, and we're all like, yo, just flags, like, this is the Rockets again, for the love of God, beat them one more time, and you can't do it. I mean, that's not nothing. Everything you said is right. It's just I don't know where to go with it yet. And I also don't know, another tangent, but, like, I would like to see Chris Finch, before he is axed, do everything he wants to do, like, his way. He has now coached, I think, 49, they're 24-25. 40 of those games have been without a backup point guard.
Yeah.
I would love to see Chris Finch at least coach Jordan McLaughlin again until we'd get rid of him, but he just, I don't know. I don't know if those aren't excuses, because I think this is the worst year he's had coaching the team since he took over, but it's also mixed with the most expectations. So are those two correlated? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's been frustrating for sure.
Well, so
that was a good, I feel good for you. You look happier. You look brighter.
I just had to get that off my chest. I'm not a big like call for people's heads guy,
mm-hmm.
but, and I'm not even doing that here. I just, you're at some point you have a vision for what you expect and they're not living up to it. So either it's an unfair expectation of a group that's not capable or you are doing a bad job of leading them. That's
my big Chris Finch case study is that when he took over, he was given the reins to just kind of do whatever he wants and experiment. And there was a time where he sat Anthony Edwards in the fourth quarter and Ant was pissed. And it might have changed his career trajectory. Like, credit Finch. Last night, Jalen Noel, for the most part, was terrible. And he gets a longer leash sometimes than, like, D'Angelo Russell does, who I think gives you more than Jalen. So last night, it's like, if Jalen is just not doing it, I don't know, man, just ask Luka Garza to bring the ball up or something. Like, Wendell Moore's on the bench. You call him up from Iowa. Like, throw him into the fire.
It's point Garza. Let's make it happen. Point
these
Luka.
These weird decisions. The Jalen Noel stuff last night was really bad. And it's just like, you got to pull the trigger on that sooner or notice little in-game things. You can't just be like you said. You can't just be like, well, whatever. We never play up to bad teams. We're just going to lose this one. It's like, no, dude, try little things. Call little timeouts. Like, make one possession more important than others just to try to, like, grind out wins and figure out these margins. So I don't know. I'm with you, though. I'm with you. It's been a frustrating year for him, for sure.
Yeah. What did Zach Lowe say about D'Lo?
Zach Lowe had Bobby Marks on, I think, recently. And they were just talking about they're kind of in trade speculation season. So is Chris Haynes and Mark Stein and all these guys. But
reckless speculation.
The vibe you kind of get, and it does link up with what his play has been, every national person doesn't sound like they think the Wolves will trade D'Angelo Russell prior to the deadline. And as we've talked ad nauseum here, like, that means that's okay. He's not the only reason this team is struggling. Like, but it does, for no better way, kick the can down the road a little bit in terms of like, okay, so then you're going to play it out. And then this summer, you're either going to have to pay him or do a sign and trade. Sign and trades happen all the time. It is beneficial to the player. But I think that was interesting because Zach Lowe is really plugged in, obviously, and knows a lot. And for them to not be looking at that path is just, I don't know. Again, it's like, okay, that's cool. D'Lo can be the point guard for the next 30 games, but they can Woj bomb us right now and say that we've decided to pay D'Angelo Russell 4 years, $150 million. Like, they can pay him today on the off day, but they haven't. They didn't do it in the summer and they didn't do it in the fall. So it's like, there's no better way to say it, Phil. Like, they're kicking the can down the road if they don't do something with him by the ninth.
And he wouldn't. It kind of depends on where the landing spots are, right? If the team that he ultimately wants to sign with has cap space, then he doesn't have to do the Wolves any sort of favor.
Right, yep.
But if the team that he wants to sign with doesn't have cap space and would have to trade for him to make it happen and absorb, kick a contract back, so you're kind of at the mercy of the options for D'Lo and teams with cap space if you get into the offseason. And you would still free up some extra cap space, but you wouldn't take advantage of the full $30 million chunk that is his contract. Is there another – are they maybe also trying to figure out – because it feels like Ant and D'Lo, they've been oil and water a lot throughout the last 2 or 3 years. And even this year, like, when they're on the court together overall over the 50 games that they've played, they are a -2 net points per 100 possessions. But this is just my own, like, eye test.
It
feels like there's a little more chemistry with those guys on the court together recently. It's kind of interesting.
Again, I'm not in the D'Lo, like, fan club group chat, but I think he's been really good. Like, these last 2 weeks when they're, 8-3, 8-4 since their players-only meeting, like, they lost to the Rockets last night and looked abysmal and should be embarrassed and bad franchise and bad dog. He had 30 on 6 of 12 shooting from 3. Yeah. If you thought the Rockets loss was bad, take D'Lo out of it and put, I guess, Jalen Noel next to him. They probably lose to the Rockets by 25.
Yeah.
And, like, you go back and look, and he has been... You know, Kyle Anderson playing the point a little more has helped D'Lo. He's always said, I am not your average point guard. I'm not really your average two guard. I am a combo guard. But I will say he has shown no animosity or no difficulty deferring to Ant late in games. by all accounts, behind the scenes, he's been okay being subbed out for defensive possessions. And he, again, I worry. Like, last night you look at the box score and everyone else pretty much was bad, other than Ant, who was 31 on 9 of 20 shooting. Like,
yeah,
they needed another guy to kind of out-duel the Rockets, and he showed up, and he's been good. Your point about them being, like, minus two together collectively this season, we're not doing it in real time, but, like, I wonder what their two-man lineup is since, like, the first of the year.
Yeah.
Because basically since the turn of the new year, I mean, I see him hustling more. I see him – he'll make a mistake, right? But I don't know, man. Kyle Anderson has made some egregious turnovers these last couple of days, and I want a statue built of him. So we got to be consistent with how I manage my takes on these guys, but – I think him and Ant, this is clearly in this stretch where, again, I think they're 8-4 since the players only being like, this is the best stretch that backcourt has played. And maybe that's why they're not going to, maybe they're just like, we'll just, if they don't trade D'Angelo Russell by the 9th, I am very okay with that. It just is a riskier proposition because now you have to be on good terms with them this summer, whether you sign him again or be like, hey, we need you to facilitate a sign and trade, and a lot of guys do it. It helps out the team. It also helps out the player get more money. But sometimes guys are like, "Screw you."
What would you get more if you had two trade options? One would be if you traded him in the next couple of weeks. Would you get more if you could do a sign and trade, or would you get more right now?
Sign and trades always get me a little weird, but I mean, I think
because there's no leverage. Like, you could create a bidding war right now if there was one. I mean, not that there's like six teams banging on the door, but usually the sign and trades are tough because it's like he identifies the team he wants to play for.
Yep.
And then you're basically just like, oh, okay, can we just like get anything?
Yeah, I'd have right. And that's kind of like when Kevin Durant was like, I'm going to the Brooklyn Nets. Then the Nets and the Warriors kind of had to be like, well, we'll take D'Angelo Russell, even though everyone's like, wait a second. That doesn't fit with Steph and Clay, who at the time were, like, healthy and stuff. But the Warriors, to their credit, were just like, no, okay, that's fine. We'll take whatever you give us, because then they were able to flip that for Wiggins, who helped them win a title. So, yeah, it's just if you trade them now, you have more control because you can say X, Y, and Z want them, and we'll send them to Y, and they'll give us this. And D'Lo doesn't have really any say in it. He doesn't have, like, a no-trade clause or anything. This summer, when he has more options and he's in control, it just, you know, opens up a can of worms. But again, you look around and I think it was Katie Storm posted a video of Jordan McLaughlin working out. He didn't have a sleeve on his calf. I have no idea about these calf injuries, but I did ask a doctor friend. He's like, they could just be a year-long thing. Like,
Josh Donaldson, the former Twins player, had like six different calf surgeries and stuff. It's been like a chronic problem his whole career. So,
well, because, and the only reason I say that is, I don't know. I'm frustrated, too. Like, I thought Carl would be back in January. Carl Anthony Towns didn't say when he was laying on the floor in Washington, I'll be back in 6 weeks. That's like either Woj or CAA, Carl's agency, or maybe the team. Like, this isn't a video game. Sometimes these guys are just like, yeah, I didn't tear my Achilles, but I damn near did the next best thing, and I'm going to be out a while. I'm pretty sure Carl Anthony Towns would like to play basketball again. He's not conspiracy milking it, but yeah. So without a backup point guard, again, that's why it puts them in a weird spot. If you lose D'Angelo Russell, who last night is helping Ant fend off the Houston Rockets? No one. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, that was kind of the latest. I've always thought maybe they would move him because of their actions of not committing long term. And it sounds like from a national perspective that that's not the case for now. So we move forward.
Well, if you're interested in some other great basketball, our friends at the University of St. Thomas play basketball, Division I basketball. You can find all their games broadcast on 1500 ESPN Radio in the Twin Cities. And you can find very fairly priced tickets at TommySports.com. That's TommySports.com. All right, we were going to maybe dive into the comments section, but looks like we're all out of time to answer all your comments about Jalen Noel being a bust. And so we'll get to that in our episodes next week at some point. Because, yeah, there is a conversation there. Shocking, we may have been wrong for the first time in our careers doing this, Kyle.
I believe I said that Jalen Noel would be asking for Jordan Poole money, and I was wrong. So maybe he'll just be asking for like inflatable pool boy money. Jalen Noel will now be paid like a pool boy and not like Jordan Poole. But yeah, he's been tough. But again, we're going to, you know, the next time we do this, there might be more trade speculation. But these next 2 weeks, the one thing I can guarantee you is the Wolves have all their guys. out scouting games. You'll see a report that at the Suns game, the Wolves have a representative. I mean, it's there. This is the busy part of the season now to try to fix a roster, update a roster that, you know, for better parts is kind of broken at 24 and 25.
Bones Highland. Bring in Bones Highland. Let's make this thing happen.
No bones about it. Wolves acquire two guard from Denver Nuggets.
All right, he's Kyle. I'm Phil. This is your favorite Timberwolves lifestyle podcast.